Sunday before last, I told you that I wanted us to pay attention to what God has called us into this earth for. You and I need to pay attention to the point that we look at where we are standing. Are we standing where God wants us to stand? Are we really ready and willing to stand for the truth? Now, you're going to stand either for the truth or you're going to stand against the truth, whichever. But Sunday before last, I talked to each of us concerning a focus of standing at a distance. If you read the book of Obadiah, go to Joshua, turn left, and there it is, 21 verses. So therefore, Obadiah brings the warning. And he says to the Edom, though you stood at a distance and watched as my children were led to the slaughter, I find you just as guilty as those who attacked them directly. So God will either see us standing at a distance to where we don't want to get involved for fear. I thought Christians were supposed to deal with what is real. Fear is a perception from Satan. So to fear something to the point to where you refuse to stand for what is right is sin. And you're just as guilty. And I'll say this again, and I know some got a little aggravated with it, but it is a fact. Folks, when you vote for something that you know your Christian convictions are telling you you're against it, you're just as guilty as that individual who is involved in the abortion, the homosexuality, or any of the other garbage that is going on. You're just as guilty. If you support someone who says, I want to destroy the Christian church, I want to stop the truth. They've been pretty good with that over the years. I really believe in it. In our generation, we're seeing God really get fed up with this stuff. And God says, don't stand at a distance. You stand where I'm standing. Jesus Christ has never stood at a distance from me. And then last Sunday, I talked about when Christ came, we see the little pamphlets where you see the cross that is the way from the way of the world or sin over to the truth of God. Well, when Jesus left, when he ascended to go back to sit at the right hand of his Father, he said, do nothing until you receive the power of my Holy Spirit. They had no idea what that was, but they knew who Jesus was. So on the day of Pentecost, you will see the Holy Spirit come within the heart of man. That's Jesus abiding with you and with me. He's in here. It is by the power of his Spirit that you and I even move. But when he went ahead and ascended and he established his church at Pentecost, the church was to be the bridge. See, we represent Jesus now. Jesus physically ascended into heaven and spiritually came to indwell the heart of all believers. So he says, church, now you are the picture or the image of that cross. You will bear some burden. See, the burden that you and I have to bear is light compared to what Jesus had to take on for all that ever existed or ever shall. So we were to stand in the gap. So I want us to look at the situation in our society today. What is standing in the gap? Is it the church of Jesus Christ standing in the gap? Or is it the way of the world? And the way of the world is in trickery and lies to persuade our children, our teenagers. No, you're just as safe here with us. No, they're not. The church has an obligation. We were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been given the gift of eternal life because of what he's done. And then we, the ones that God has called, we refuse to be the one in the gap because we just don't want to get involved. Either you get involved attacking evil or you'll find it in your own home. It'll break down the door. It'll destroy the wisdom of mom and dad. And God help you, mom and dad, if you dare look at your children instead of calling them, you two boys, I raised you, I delivered you. You two girls, I delivered you, I raised you. You all will get in separate rooms before you kill each other or I come in and beat all of you. And we never did it. But I want you to think of something. The gap. When you see the church not fulfilling the obligation of the gap that God has called us to, you will see the breakdown of the family. But parents, call them boys and girls. That's okay. Don't call them purple penguins. Whether you all have been following that or not, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so the teachers were now to call the children not by boys or by girls, but something like purple penguins. No, they're still boys and girls, I hope. What a generation. My mother is 100 years old, as you all know. And this world has surpassed her. And I understand that because it's almost surpassed me. She has a daughter in her 80s. And her youngest just had a birthday. But I want you to remember something. Parents, you're the ones that are standing the gap in protection for your children. Don't you dare turn them over to the world until you've trained them properly. When they walk out that door, that they can return home safely. Today, I want us to understand a different standing for us. That we are commanded by God to stand and deliver. Not to stand at a distance, but to stand in the gap and to stand and deliver. Talking it is one thing, standing and delivering is different. We are to stand and we are to deliver to the world the voice of God. Folks, think how blessed we are in the generations of the church. Think how blessed we are that God takes time out of all things that are going on just to touch our heart and save us from a world that wants to destroy us. And he says to us, I want you to do as my son has taught you. Well, it was God the Father that delivered his own son. God delivered his son for our sins. Now, let me read the scripture. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus knows your name. God the Father knows your name. I'm no stranger in heaven. I just haven't gotten there yet. But the scripture tells me that I can count it as though I'm already there. Because of who Jesus is, not because of who we are. 1 Timothy 2:5, as Paul declares to his protege, to Timothy, listen, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus stood and delivered, and his delivery has never ceased. His delivery continues for us For an eternity, we will always remember the blood of Jesus. We will always be reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's not a time in existence that we won't remember what we call the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And people say, oh no, when you die, that's over. Not true. Jesus said, I will know to his disciples, I no longer will taste of the bread or the cup until I taste it with you in my kingdom. You see, you and I get to go home. Why are we not happy on earth? I'm tickled to death, I'm not happy on earth. Because I'm not home yet. You see, as a Christian, I realize that. And hope and pray that God will touch our hearts to the point to where we will pay more attention to him than we will to our own mind and to the world. But Jesus says, I'm praying for you, Larry. He inserts your name in there. When you know him, he continues to intercede in prayer on our behalf. Why would he need to do that? When you became a Christian, did all the evil thoughts leave your mind? Did all the evil ways, were they put aside as you had promised? Do you know why they weren't? You're still human. The battle that's going on in us is a spiritual warfare from the human condition to the spiritual. You will be fighting in that battle until the day we enter the gates. 2 Timothy 4:18, important one for you, Christian. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That means so let it be done. It also means it's already done because it's prayed. Amen. So let it be done. You see, when Jesus said he is coming to save sinners, he meant it. But he, being God, understood what you and I didn't understand. You and I thought we could keep a rule or regulation or law. Jesus came knowing that we couldn't. He would have to go to that cross. He would have to accept your guilt and my guilt. So he did. So let it be done. For it is God who touches the heart and gives strength to the body, his church. But it is your responsibility and my responsibility to accept the wisdom that he gives us and apply that to everyday life. Are we going to deliver God's message or our own? Now listen well, Christian. Professing Christians have two choices. You have two choices. One of them is a bad choice. Choice number one is the good one, to stand and deliver the truth. The good news, the truth. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the good news to all generations. Psalm 50, last part of verse 14 through 15. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. What a choice. God said, I will let you represent me. I will allow you to represent me. Not only that, I will give you the words, the wisdom to represent me. I will give you my truth, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be right there beside you as you deliver that truth. But what we have seen from generation to generation is a fact of the human societies. The society of each generation, there's always a percentage up, down, from generation to generation. Some want to deliver the truth. And I'm speaking of churches here, people. You know not to pay attention to the world. I'm talking about people in the church. I'm talking about professing Christians. Are we going to present the truth, or are we going to present, well, this is the way I feel? I don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel. My salvation is not based on feelings. My salvation is based on the fact of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and he died for me. And I said yes to him. And when I said I will follow you, Lord, I haven't felt that good since. And that's fact. You see, when you do that, all hell comes against you. Oh no, you just accept Jesus. Everything's going to be perfect. And you're going to have all the wealth and you're going to have all of that. Don't you get sick of hearing that stuff? Wonder what generation's going to get it all. Maybe it's a bunch of preachers, I don't know. But you remember this. Don't base your salvation on a denomination, Southern Baptist or any other. Your salvation's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. For he is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Choice number two, to once again, here it is, once again, stand and deliver the truth for crucifixion. You see, the truth was crucified. Many of us, remember Pontius Pilate, remember his wife coming to him said, and his wife said, oh, don't have anything to do with this just man, for he speaks the truth. You remember what Pilate said? What is truth? You know his mistake? Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Truth is Jesus. When you and I look at the world, when we hear the world crying out, give us the truth. Tell us the truth. Do you know what separates God's children from the world? The truth. Some people just don't want the truth. Some just can't handle the truth. But all needs to understand something. The truth is the only who that you and I have that truly loves us. You got it? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I have a bad case of the stupids. He loves me through the good times and through the bad times. You see, Jesus is going to love me forever. You and I think of the love part until death do us part. Well, that's okay. Because Christian, you're never going to die. Now, there's never a point. Now you listen to this, Christian. There will never be a point in your life to where you experience death. Listen to me. You will never die. God did not create the human race to ever die. Sin came in. And God recognized sin. But you and I were created. We are a spirit that has a body, not a body with a spirit. We are spiritual. How does the Holy Spirit relate to us? Well, it's through his spirit. We are spiritual. And God reminds us that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Now, when we in the church have those deep-seated days of stupidity, doesn't make Jesus love us any less. But don't your heart break inside? You don't even like you. And you know what I tell Christians? That's good. That's good. I hope you feel miserable. I hope Sunday morning when you've been in off a drunk that night after you come to church, you go back home and you vomit your guts out. And God bless you. I love you. But it doesn't make you less of a child of God. But it sure does make us wild ones sometime. But Jesus says, no, you're never going to die. Then what's the difference? Well, the difference is, where am I going to spend eternity? Ah, preacher, you're one of those guys that believes in hell. I don't just believe in hell, I know. Have you ever been on the battlefront? Norman and all the guys matter of fact, most people in here have been in combat. And we see the worst of humanity. We look into ourselves and what I do today, what I did on the battlefield, no. But you see, that's called life. In life, we break rules. When we break rules, we suffer. But Jesus says, I'm going to come, I'm going to take your suffering. I'm going to give you an opportunity to serve me. And he's come, and we said yes to him. We've accepted him. And he says, now this is what I want you to do. Christian, I want you to stand and deliver. Would you please quit sitting down, stand and deliver. Christians, I want you to be about my Father's business as I was about my Father's business. Stand for the truth. Do not crucify again the truth. And the church, just so society will look at you with pleasure. If society, if the world is looking at you and smiling, you got a problem with God, folks. And the leadership within the churches need to once again stand up and stand in the gap and stand and deliver, because our Savior is in the delivery business. God delivered him for you and me. It's all by choice. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life by choice. Didn't matter what the adults thought about it. I knew I'd accepted him by choice. I knew that he had brought me under conviction, and I said, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm just an 8-year-old kid. What does an 8-year-old kid know? What does a 5-year-old kid know? They know Jesus when they see him. They might not know what you think they ought to do to get saved. And folks, let me tell you, if you say that it is any more than believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, God incarnate, when that child believes, you dare stop that child from saying yes to Jesus? Well, I don't think it's old enough. Old enough to watch about anything they want to watch on television. And you're sending them out in a world that don't care anything about them when they start school. But they're not old enough to know Jesus. Something wrong with that, people. And you and I are commanded to stand and deliver. I remind you again of Pontius Pilate, going back to Edom. When God delivered his word of truth of the destruction of Edom, you come all the way up to what we call the New Testament. The Messiah, our Savior, is standing in front of a man we know as Pontius Pilate, who was one of the last of the Edomites whom God said, I will completely destroy you. It was a nation that fought against God from the beginning, and God said, I will destroy you. Do you realize, and pay attention to that, did you notice that he's the only one that Jesus refused to talk to? Jesus said that for as God's concerned, the Father, he doesn't even exist. He just didn't know it. And it was over. When you and I said yes to Jesus, it's just the beginning. Far being over. Folks, we have a nation that is crumbling. We see it. I don't care whether it's black, white, yellow, red, whatever the color is. It's the ideology. It's the strength of who Christ is. I'm a Christian. You and I need to be the individuals that God has called us to be in Him. I have a ministry to complete in my life, and that ministry will be completed before I get to go on home. But so do you, because I can't die. I will pass on. Now remember this. When you're at a funeral home, don't sad die. As a Christian, you pass on or pass over according to the scripture. You know what the sad part is? The people who don't know Christ do the same thing. It's where you end up spending eternity that's different. When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He said, "You'll be with me throughout eternity. You will rule right beside of me." Folks, I was so happy to finally get the focus of I get to be with Him. I didn't care a thing about the ruling part. I get to be with my Lord. But the time's not right yet. I have a ministry to complete, and I will, through the power of God and He only. You listen to the cry within your own heart, within your own spirit, of the true and the living God. And when He takes time out, you think maybe He might be a little busy with all of creation, yet He takes time out to enter your heart and give you that touch. And when you've been touched by the Spirit of the Most High, you will have that touch that the world doesn't understand, nor can they kill, because in your heart, Jesus has let you know, "I am here. I will never leave you." Stand strong. Stand firm. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to You, asking, dear Lord God, that You will give each of us the individual strength to stand strong, that we, Heavenly Father, will be ready and willing to deliver Your message, no matter what that message might be. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Oh, Father, I thank You for putting up with us. And we ask Your blessing now as You touch each heart, as each heart decides freely to support You or to support the world, as each heart decides to take that choice. Bless us, Father, for we have truly lost our way. Give us that boldness in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.